Oh, we'll start with item number one, the Chief Capital Management Officer report.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. Because of the time that we have, I would go through briefly on the various updates. The first one is the Orange Line Extension. Here we have basically two activities that are undergoing at this point. One is the DWP doing their underground at Lancashire, and then we are pretty much 50% of the foundation work for the Lassen Bridge completed. And some of the significant issues is the maintenance of landscape along the bikeway there on the Orange Line. So we are discussing with the city to find ways and means how to accomplish this. This is going to be an issue with all other light rail extensions, where we have the bikeways, where we have to do the landscape, who will maintain it, and what that should be. So we will be working with the city on that. Path forward on the Orange Line is DWP is working closely with us on the undergrounding of the utilities. Lassen Bridge is the critical path item, so we are working on that. And then we continue to finalize the design coordination with the city along all the street interfaces. Next, moving on to 405. Major accomplishment there, we have issued many design packages for construction. One of the challenges there is because of the restrictions, we can only work at night, so we have a full five nights a week activity going on there. We have major activities going on at Wilshire Boulevard as well as at the Sunset. The ramp work is going on, and DWP is working in undergrounding the power cables at between Montana and Churchill Sunset there. Moving on to 405, significant issues. We are moving forward with the freeway realignment. In fact, it is on the agenda today to get approved for the redesign. So as soon as the redesign issue is approved, we will work with the MWD as well as with Caltrans to get this into 96-inch water main issue resolved. It's very important we do this because it's a pretty risky item that for us. We are also working with the city on the various other issues that associated with Sapalwada and the ramp access. Path forward, we still have real estate issue with GSA as well as with the Mulholland Drive. This thing, the city is reviewing that. Getty Foundation, we have an issue regarding the realignment of the freeway, so we are working on that. And of course, VA is another area where we need to have a right-of-way agreement, so we are working on that. The next one is the Crenshaw. Crenshaw, we are moving ahead with the final EIS EIR. We are also looking at some possible locations for the sites to locate our main facility. We are doing some environmental work on those, and then we have issued the NTP to our consultant to start work on the preliminary engineering on a selective basis. We continue to work on the final EIS EIR. We still need to finalize the project definition on the Crenshaw line. We continue to evaluate the transfer station at Crenshaw and position, underground or above ground, what is the best alternate to work at that. And we also have an issue with BNSF regarding the track abandonment we are working on. Path forward, we will work on the environmental issues during January, February, try to complete the FEIS in April of 2011, and then it has to go for public comments, and immediately at the same time we will be finalizing the project definition on that. We hope to accomplish the federal ROD in September of 2011 at this point. The regional connector, we have given a limited NTP to the consultant, and we also have the approval from the board to move into an integrated project office. So come December, consultant and the MTA staff will be moving into the integrated project office. So we will have a very focused effort on regional connector as well as on the subway to the sea. Subway to sea, we are still working on the options. P. Parsons Brinckerhoff has been selected to go ahead and finalize the EIS EIR. We are also working with the communities, and of course the Beverly Hills school issue is being addressed as a part of the preliminary engineering. And we have also requested FTA to give us the approval to enter into preliminary engineering. Path forward, but we are relocating our staff and the consultant staff into the integrated project office, so both the regional connector and the subway to sea will be in the same office. So that's the program. We have Mr. Eric Olson from Exposition to give an update.
Thank you. Starting with major accomplishments, we submitted the final NEPA document for the Farmdale station to FTA. We completed our project budget forecast and presented that to the Expo board, and I'll report on that on my next slide. Completed our value engineering study and also presented that to the Expo board. We began evaluations of an initial revenue operating segments with Metro. Our design-build contractors completed the track work installation from 7th and Metro to just east of the Culver City aerial station. We're 50% complete with our intersection reconstruction work, 75% done with our overhead catenary system, and our train control system is 60%. Our contractor schedule continues to show a 55-week delay, so we're looking at substantial completion sometime towards the end of May next year. This scope does not include the Culver City station or the Farmdale station or the storage facility, and that will come after that. So that's the reason we're evaluating operating segments with Metro, given this remaining work, what makes the most sense from an operating perspective. The budget forecast analysis that we completed showed a forecast at completion of $911.5 million as of August of this year. This includes remaining contract packages to be awarded, change orders, pending change orders, potential change orders, trends, and contingencies. The number is going to fluctuate month to month as we finalize outstanding change orders and contracts. The August forecast at completion is now approximately $12.6 million over the current authorized budget, and it does not include any potential claims from our design-build contractor. In parallel with these efforts, in an effort to mitigate any potential budget overruns, we had a value engineering study that was done with outside consultants as well as Metro, and that identified $7.5 to $10 million in potential cost savings. The board authorized moving forward with looking at incorporating these items. In addition, we looked at third-party reimbursements that we have coming back to us for work that we performed on behalf of the third parties, and we look at this range as anywhere from approximately $2 to $4 million. All of which, if we're able to successfully do these, we should end up with a balanced budget at completion of the project, with the exception that if there's any claims, those are not included as part of the budget. Path forward, the staff and the contractor are continuing discussions in an effort to reach a global settlement agreement. We'll continue to closely monitor and trend actual costs against those forecasts and report those on a monthly basis. We'll continue to pursue incorporation of the value engineering recommendations into the project and pursue the third-party reimbursements.
Are you joining us?
We've also incorporated lessons learned from phase one into the phase two contract. Some of the things we've done on phase two was pre-qualify contractors and shortlist the most qualified to receive bids from. We're going to get a firm fixed price at the outset of the project to limit exposure to construction fluctuations, limit changes to the project scope to the extent possible so we don't have a lot of late incorporation of major elements of work into the project. Get commitments from third parties in order to meet our schedules, have sufficient contingency to cover unknowns, and also incorporate the latest safety enhancements from both Eastside and the Expo One projects. On local jobs, local residents worked 32.9% of the construction work in October for a total of 28.2% of all construction hours on the project to date, and the contractor continues to project that they will meet the 30% goal for local residents at the end of the job. Local residents comprised 24.8% of all workers on the project in October, with 154 of the 620 workers utilized on the project in the month of September were local residents. Phase two, major accomplishments. We're working with the two design build contractors to reconcile comments we received on their draft preliminary engineering documents. We presented our small business enterprise program to the Expo board and began negotiations on the draft project labor agreement for the project with the building council and contractors, and we issued our first addendum for the request for proposals. Significant issues is still the legal challenge to the CEQA document, and path forward is continuing industry outreach of the development of the SBE and project labor agreement, finalize the disposition of third-party comments on the draft preliminary engineering documents, receive pricing and remaining evaluation documents from our design build contractors next month, bring the SBE and PLA back to the Expo board for consideration in December, and we're going to complete a white paper on lessons learned for phase one. And that concludes my presentation.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, just some, go back on Expo for, let's go back. I'm concerned on cost overruns. I got tired of hearing about Expo cost overruns 2 years ago. And I appreciated Rick's pledge that we weren't going to hear about them anymore. So why am I hearing about them?
Well, we've gone through, we've done this forecast. We wanted to make sure that the board was apprised of issues on Expo. That was one concern that was raised to me when I started doing the presentations, to make sure that the board was informed of all financial issues. We've done that, and so based on this evaluation.
That wasn't my comment was, I appreciate your informing us. My comment was, Thorpe had reassured us, no more overruns. Now, I'm not talking about litigation, but you know, we went through this several times on Expo, and I'm not even talking about moving the station from phase two to phase one, because I don't count that as a cost overrun. That's a shifting of when it was going to get done. But I'm concerned because there's no more money here for Expo.
I think we understand that, and that's why we're doing what we can to mitigate this forecasted overrun by looking at the value engineering and the third-party reimbursements, which we're hopeful that we'll be able to do that, so we will end up with a balanced budget at the end.
Well, I guess so. The message that I would appreciate you're taking back.
How can you have a balanced budget at the end when you already are out of balance now?
Because we have these
somewhere else.
We have these potential cost savings and reimbursements that we're going to pursue. That we can obtain those, which we are
reimbursements or more funding.
Reimbursements.
My message was the same as the supervisors, which is, you know, we're looking forward to seeing that come back here balanced, and that there is not a deep pocket here, and that I intend to keep Mr. Thorpe at his word, and you all need to figure out within that budget how to make it work, which is the same thing we're telling every other project.
I think we understand that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one we have is the Foothill Extension, Mr. Chris Berner.
Thank you very much. This past month, we held a public hearing for the draft supplemental environmental impact report that would add the maintenance facility to the project and make a few other changes to the project. We executed an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with Time Warner and Charter. We've now completed 4 of the 8 agreements with the utilities, working on the remaining ones. We obtained site approval for the substation number 1 from the County of Los Angeles. We've submitted the I-210 bridge seismic design criteria to Caltrans. Preliminary results are coming back to us that will be approved. We are going through the procurement for our large alignment contract. We answered several questions from the pre-qualified bidders for that. We completed a geotechnical report for the Santa Anita grade separation and included that in the alignment contract procurement documents. We completed an updated phase one environmental site assessment and included that in the procurement documents. And we continue to hold regular technical and project management coordination meetings with Metro. Moving forward, the significant issues we have two that we really need to get through to get the project really going up to full speed. That's execution of an agreement between Metro and BNSF to discontinue freight service from Santa Anita Boulevard and Arcadia to San Gabriel River. We need to get that done by January of next year to make the project happen. We also need to certify the environmental, the SEIR for the maintenance facility. We hope to do that in January 26th at our next board, at our January board meeting. Path forward, continue working on the alignment contract procurement documents, answering questions, additioning addenda as necessary. Continue coordination with the major project stakeholders, including Metro, Caltrans, SCRA, the corridor cities, and all appropriate utilities. That's all. That concludes the presentation.
Very much.
Okay. If you don't have any questions, we can move on to the next item. Okay. The next item is requesting approval for a contract modification to the I-405 contract. The Sepulveda Widening Pass project is designed by Caltrans and by City of Los Angeles, and the MTA role is to implement the project and work with all the agencies and to get the project moving on time and schedule. This particular request is to avoid relocating the existing 96-inch water main, which is in front of Getty. It's a very old, 60-year-plus-old pressure main, and we don't know the condition of that main, so we work with MWD not to relocate that, and the only way we could do is shift the whole 405 to west, get into the Getty property there. So this realignment is what we are trying to do to avoid the risk that we need to take to relocate the 96-inch main. So this would allow us to gain some schedule, but it is requiring $3 million in design changes, so we request your approval on that.
Why now? Why wasn't this known back during environmental, and why is this just coming to us now as a change order as opposed to the original contract?
It was not addressed originally by Caltrans when they did the preliminary engineering. When it was handed over to us for getting the contractor on board, we looked at it, and at that time it was too late because of the FSWA deadlines to advertise the contracts. It was advertised, and so we worked with MWD for the last 12 months to convince them that this is a better way to do the project and not take the risk, as well as save some construction time.
So is this the piece where you're shifting the freeway to the east?
To the west. Mr. Mike Barber is the project manager. He can explain the engineering thing. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Mike Barber from the I-405 project. What Murthy says is correct. We're moving the freeway west. It avoids the longitudinal encroachment of this 96-inch line. In addition to that, the reason it wasn't resolved during the environmental phase is that Caltrans and Getty had a dispute over that property on the west side. Getty has a lot of sensitive hill restraining devices in there, and they did not come to a resolution at that point. So when we came on the project, we had some negotiations with Getty and MWD, and Getty was receptive to allowing us to move closer as long as some constraints were dealt with Getty. We've got an agreement with Getty that we haven't, it's not been signed yet, but they are in agreement essentially with this concept.
All right, thank you.
I have a lot of questions. I guess the first question would be, is how many in this room were here during the red line change orders?
Here.
John, you and me. The majority of you were not. I think, Art, you might have been here, but you were running buses at the time. And, huh?
We're getting fired.
Well, all I know is that I've been here a long time, and I have seen these kinds of inept answers before. That was an inept answer. Totally inept.
That's the status of the project we inherited when we took over from Caltrans to go ahead and get this project done. The designs were not complete.
Excuse me.
Pardon me?
Excuse me. Those are the same inept answers that we received about all of it. We're still paying for the red line today. From the inept
answers.
We sit here, and we're not engineers as you all are. We are told that, of course, if we were, we might understand all the gobbledygook you give me. That time, I think Nick Patsouris was sitting here, and he's an engineer, and he was told that he didn't get it either. Come on, folks. Sitting here a long time, orders don't make sense. Don't make sense. Now, let's start again. You are now asking only for design. This is just design.
Does design include...
What is it called? Engineering?
Ma'am, can I clarify some things for you then? Just to help you out with the overall...
Clarify an app for me?
No, actually, the purpose of proceeding with a design change order is to get the process started so we don't lose any time during construction.
I understand all of that. That's the same answers we got before.
Right.
On the red line. All right? I've heard this all before. But let's start again. Let's go back. Right now you're asking me for a design change order. Does that include engineering?
Yes, ma'am.
It does. It's design and engineering.
Yes. Okay, ma'am. The other thing is that the
is
total...
Is this an honest answer? I'm asking it because I don't want to hear about the engineering change order that I'm going to have down the line. Is it include engineering?
Yes, it
yes,
does.
Yes, ma'am.
Actually, it doesn't. It's design and engineering.
Yes,
ma'am. Can I get into the reason that we broke it into design and construction? We've actually looked...
Now includes construction, too.
No, it doesn't include it at this point.
Okay.
We proceeded with the design so we wouldn't lose any of our schedule time. But the overall, we've looked at the overall construction costs, and we were probably, initially we looked at a $2 to $4 million savings. Right at this point, we've made some changes as requested by Caltrans and Getty. So we're looking at probably break even. But this is a good idea. This includes all the costs.
I haven't asked for your opinion yet.
I'm sorry.
Look, folks, these change orders come in and you start bamboozling us with these answers, with this little synopsis that doesn't have clearly all of the questions answered. And every single time you have to ask them because later on they said, well, it didn't include engineering costs. Well, now we need a change order for engineering. Oh, it didn't include the construction costs because we had this number for construction and now it's in. So, what was the number that we had for design? Before?
I'm sorry, before?
For this design number. The change order.
Ma'am, this is a design build project where the contractor set up a bid where he gave, it's included all the
and
design.
So what happened? So now, because we're changing something, it changes the whole contract? We gave him money for design.
It doesn't change the whole contract. There's approximately probably close to $55 million in design cost in the whole entire contract. The $3 million is an estimate of what we believe all the design and engineering costs are to implement this change.
I know, and more changes to come because I will probably have an opportunity to sit here for a couple of more years and hear more about it. But this is going to be the level of questions that I'll be asking all the way through. They're not at the end of the day that I'm going to get the complete and thorough answers. But let's, huh? Oh, yeah? Try and watch. You sit here long enough and you'll see how they bamboozle you. Okay, let's start again. So, this contract had design dollars in it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, they designed all of the other stuff. So that there aren't enough design dollars now in this contract. That's what you're telling me.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you heard this before? So everything else has now been designed.
No, what I heard before, Supervisor, was that this was not designed when the $55 million was spent designing everything else because of an ongoing dispute between Caltrans and the Getty.
The Getty.
So this piece was not designed.
What was designed in this piece?
The original design from Caltrans asked for relocating the 96-inch water main.
Which was going to require what?
Which was going to
require design and engineering.
That's correct.
Thank you, Richard. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The issue here is the risk associated with touching that 96-inch water main. If we go in there...
And that's different, though.
Yeah.
But it had design and engineering money in it. So you have design and engineering money in it. You've come in and you're asking for a change. So there was design and engineering money for this segment. Why can't you use that same design and engineering money?
The contractor had already designed it according to the Caltrans.
He has utilized this design money.
He had already spent that money before the...
He already designed it.
He designed it to relocate the water main.
Have you seen it?
Yes, we have.
And all of that money was utilized?
How much
did that design and engineering amount cost?
I don't have the numbers for that.
You should have the number.
We can verify that numbers.
It cost $75,000 to design and repair.
It was a lump sum contract for design.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lump sum contract.
Right.
So your engineer is telling you, cost me $3 mil. You owe me $3 mil. Where's the validation of all of this?
This is based on the number of drawings and the amount of time it requires to re-engineer the work.
So how much did the original design cost?
We have a lump. You can go ahead and answer that.
The contractor, when he puts in a bid like this, he put in $55 million and he distributed it across all the activities in the project. Those are his estimates of what he's telling us he's going to spend on those. The actual cost for each of those items is really not known because that's in his bailiwick to resolve those issues.
You itemize this one and it is a $3 million design and engineering cost.
I think, man, that there isn't an equal. The design we're proposing here isn't exactly what they designed initially. There's a significant amount of other design involved with this particular change. So I don't think we can compare it as apples to apples.
You know, there's no doubt. There's no comparison apples to apples. The other one was a very complex, changing water mains, utility, all kinds of stuff. This one now is just changing the alignment, so it seems easier. Says it's less complex. I'm not an engineer, but you see, that's the way my mind thinks. You know, the other one was very intricate and had a lot of involvement, and this one is now just a little simpler, so why is it costing me more money?
I think it's costing us more money at this phase because we're going to reduce risk of actually moving the 96-inch water line. In addition to that, we will gain back the money we spent in the design when we estimate the construction side of this.
Okay, so how much buy in this lump sum contract for construction?
For the change or for what the existing work is?
I'm the contractor, as we had in the red line, who can tell us anything he wants to tell us, okay? So I'm assuming, let's say of this $700 million, let's say he says construction is $500 million. Okay, mm-hmm. This change is going to cost you $5 million. How are you going to know the difference of not?
That's a good question, actually.
No, it is.
I think there's two parts to this. One, the contractor gave us a lump sum bid for the entire project. They distributed those funds throughout the project, whether it's for design or construction. Those are not something we can challenge, but they're their estimates. We don't know if they're accurate. So what we do...
Sure. You're coming to me and asking for a very accurate number, $3 million, very accurate. Not whatever. The point is you don't know. I certainly don't know. But you're asking me to buy into something. I bought into it in the red line even after we challenged some of those change orders, even though we had people inside, outside, continuously. Sometimes, you know, come on, that's the way these contracts go. We're still paying for that thing. For things that should, in a lump sum, this should not have been change, whatever negotiations are there, it, you know, you have to be very careful. Maybe you should keep your fingers out of the damn pie.
I think this is in the best interest of the state of California and LA, actually. The
best interest in Southern California is for this transportation money to go wide, okay? You start using it up in one project on one side of town, some of us get a little hostile when there isn't money for the other side of town. So I don't know where this money is coming from, okay? I don't know. You're asking me to add it on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's contingency in this lump sum contract, right? How much is a contingency?
The contingency that we carry, not the contractor, is approximately, we've increased it from $38 to $68 million.
What?
We've increased the contingency on this contract from $38 million to $68 million.
All right. When did that happen?
It happens as we go through and look at staffing levels. It happens as we...
Wait a minute, it happens? You mean you've already changed it or we're going to ask for a change?
I'm not asking for a change. You're asking me where the money comes from. The money comes from two areas in this specific question about increasing our contingency. We've increased it $15 million because we took it out of our third-party relocation cost. Turns out we work with Caltrans and our utility folks to streamline that process, and we've saved about $15 million. There's an additional $15 million of soft costs, which are our engineering costs, which we've also reduced. At the same time,
I didn't get it. Contingency fund. Now, I don't know, again, we're not all engineers. Contingency fund is usually a fund that's set aside contingencies about those things. What are you telling me? You're not telling me these are contingencies. I don't think you're telling me that. How did it get increased from what, 38 to 60 some?
Because we reduced our the project did.
I'm sorry?
The project has looked at the engineering costs for doing third-party relocations, and we're looking at savings approximately $15 million. That savings goes into our contingency. It's not going to be spent on, you know, third-party cost.
Okay, then I misunderstood. I apologize. So you're saying from savings that you've gotten from the project, you've put it into contingency?
Yes, ma'am.
That's
good
correct.
Thing. All right.
Sorry.
So this $3 million comes from where?
This $3 million will be covered by our contingency.
Okay. So at least it's coming out of the contingency, right? So we're not adding any new money to this project?
No.
No, ma'am.
None.
No, ma'am.
No.
Not yet. Okay. So now, how are you going to figure out the construction? I mean, this developer can throw you any number you want, right?
Oh, absolutely. We do our own independent estimates. We've already done that. We've involved Caltrans.
Estimating your construction to cost for this change.
I can't break it out at this point. I know what
the lump sum rounded figure, a couple million here there. Give me.
The total reduction we estimated between the contractor and us, we are apart by about $4 million, I believe, and I think we are at between $14 and $18 million of money we took out of the contract, and then the difference.
If they take out, you mean out of the lump sum?
Right. The work that we would not do by making this change was about $14 to $18 million.
So the contractor's not going to get that money.
Then we had to look at what the change is going to be. So that's about approximately between about $2 million less than that. So the work we're adding back in is about $2 million less than the work we took out. I'm sorry to confuse you on this one, but
I'm trying to add it up. $14 million. You're arguing that, and then so now it's what's the $2 million difference?
That's the change work is going to cost about $2 million less than the work that we took out of the contract.
I'm sorry, I don't know. $2 million less than what we took out of the contract. You took 14.
We took about. We haven't resolved this. We've estimated with our internally is about a savings of $14 to $18 million to
take it out of the contract.
At this point, no, we have not.
That with a lump sum contract?
We can do a change order to take that money out of the contract.
We need to negotiate.
When am I getting that change order? I'm looking forward to it.
We should be getting this probably in the next 3 to 4 months.
You know, I've never seen a contractor give us money back.
They don't give it very easily.
I know they don't. Usually it involves a lawsuit.
That's okay. I think we know what we're doing here. We've done our own independent estimates.
You should come into closed session with us every so often and listen to that's okay. Law set of lawsuits. You know, sir, I'm asking you these questions because I have a feeling I'm going to see you for a long time on this project.
I look forward to it, ma'am.
I want you to know the level of questions that I'm going to ask. I want you to understand that what you were telling me will be replayed back to you, okay? So right now you're telling me there's a change order that I'm going to see that includes 12 to 15 million? And we're going to take away from the contractor?
I think, ma'am, I think what I would characterize instead of saying it's...
Just the caution in the response.
Yeah. I think we have a net savings in the change in the construction dollars of this change. So it's like I said, it's 14, 18 million in savings of taking out the base work, and then what we do in the actual change is approximately $12 million.
If you are so confident as you are, then let's call it even Steven. When you get that change order, we don't need to add this money right now. Because you're going to get it for us. So we don't need to add it.
Well, ma'am, I have to have this change order approved to do this work.
I will approve the change order. I'm just not going to approve the money with it. Because you're going to get it back.
Okay.
I so move.
One's an end of process truing up, and one's a real-time expenditure to do the work. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
So I understand where the supervisor is going. If the money's coming out of savings, then there is no new money for it, which is what you've said also and what the supervisor said. You need the change order, but then you get into a cash flow issue.
We have no authority to tell the contractor to do the redesign unless we issue him a change order, and that only can be done with your approval.
I support that.
Yeah.
Let me ask, but the question, there was two parts to the supervisor's comment. There was supporting the change order and not approving the money.
That's correct.
So can you still do the work without the money being approved?
We need to officially give him a change notice to add money for the design, saying do this design, and then we negotiate for the construction part of that redesigned work. At that time, we take the construction cost deducted.
Murthy, you lost me at one. Yeah. At the beginning, this is design and engineering, not construction.
That's correct. This money is only for design. We are asking.
The question was in terms of the $3 million that's in this request, this change order.
Right.
Do you have a cash flow issue? Is what the supervisor suggesting that there's been no money approved today, just the change order approved because the money's going to come out of the truing up that you do at the end? Will that still allow this design and engineering work to go forward so you can get to the construction piece? That was my question.
Okay.
Your answer has to be yes to that. You know that.
No, we need to...
Can I explain some, Director? I think when we talked the savings, this was based on an original estimate. At this point, we've had requests from Getty and Caltrans for betterments to that. But our original estimate when we looked at this was about a $2 to $4 million savings. At this point, Caltrans and the Getty are asking for improvements beyond what we originally scoped. So we're looking at those changes to ensure that it stays within this zero change. So at this point, we haven't done those engineering numbers.
No, I understand that. Right, I understand. Okay. And you know, we can discuss later whether Getty ought to pay for changes they want, or Caltrans for that matter. If they want changes, they can pay for them beyond the original scope. But in terms of just this here today,
I don't feel like I need to.
Can you proceed as you need to if the supervisor's motion passes the way it is, which says yes to the change order, but no new money or no movement of money, because that'll all come out in the wash, so to speak, when you finish the project. That's, and it's a yes or no deal.
We have to take the money from the contingency and allocate it to this change, and then we negotiate for the construction and put the money back into it. So that's the process we have to go through. If the motion is stay within the overall budget of the project and go with the change, we can do that. We have no problem with that. We will do that.
So if the motion was to approve the change order and any money needed comes out of the existing funds for the project,
right,
then you'll be okay?
That will be okay with us. That's what we are trying to accomplish.
If with the supervisors okay, I'll offer that as a friendly amendment.
Well, yeah, they have to come out, and the money has to come out of somewhere.
Right.
But it's coming out of the present contingency fund.
Right.
We're not adding the contingency fund. Sorry. And we look forward to that that change order that'll put the savings back into the contingency fund, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I hear about that. And I know the Getty is an important cultural institution and all of those things, and we're encroaching on them somewhat. But we did this with Universal as well on the Red Line, and we're still stuck, okay? Betterments could mean one thing to you and something different to the Getty. You know, betterments to us.
Different to us.
Huh?
Has something totally different to us. We may not see them as betterments.
Well, again, they see them different. But, I mean, at Universal, we said, okay, from here to there, we're going to create a pathway for you. And under, over, around, now they want luxury conditions as we walk through this pathway, and they want us to pay for it, and we're still designing it. Yes, sir, you're going to get me that one day, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm still waiting, all right? This is 10 and a half years later, okay? So please understand that you better caution on these so-called, quote, betterments, because people say, oh, now you're not going to use that money. Well, then, can I have this area landscaped? Oh, could I have this thing? Could you build me a second driveway over here? I know how they do it. Watch it, because we're not going to approve those things. So you shouldn't be in discussions with betterments, because right now, this money is coming back into a contingency that you're going to need, taken out of a contingency very early, that you're going to need as we proceed. And this is the beginning of many a change order. I understand there's a second one on here, too.
Well, there's two more after this.
Two more in this.
More meetings to come, right?
Yes.
Director Wrigley-Thomas.
We are in a little difficult situation here because we are neither the designer nor the owner-operator of this facility. We are trying to manage Caltrans, trying to manage City of L.A., County of L.A., everybody.
We understand that.
Yeah.
The motion that's before us, if the supervisor is okay with the language I was suggesting as a friendly amendment to...
As long as we're not adding...
I think the chair...
It's coming out of the contingency.
Pardon me.
Director Wrigley-Thomas.
The chair recognized Director Wrigley-Thomas. I think the whole conversation is illuminating for a variety of reasons, and it speaks to the larger set of issues involving cost overruns, change orders, et cetera. And I think it's worth our evaluating the culture of change orders at Metro. The line of inquiry is instructive. I think there's a need for more checks and balances. Madam Chair, Mr. CEO, I know that this is the role that an inspector general often plays to heighten the confidence of the decision makers, that is to say the board of directors, as to whether we are exercising the appropriate level of prudence. For me, the question is, how frequently have we seen change orders, and what's the level of cost overruns to date on this particular project? It has been stated already we should anticipate a couple of more today and then the specter of more to come in future meetings. That's problematic from my point of view, and it's increasingly uncomfortable, particularly in the context of our having to manage scarce resources. So I have substantial unreadiness about proceeding with this absent a better conversation that heightens the collective sense of comfort for the entirety of the board as to what the culture of change orders is in the MTA. And it's too much to expect that we have to pick the bones every time the matter comes up. And so, Madam Chair, I'm going to suggest that more work be done, that the CEO engage pursuant to my remarks. We move this matter without recommendation and expect that we can have a more satisfactory discussion and response about the time the board is convened. I would trust that there's a second.
Second.
Okay. Then one of the questions then I would have was that if you're suggesting we not act on either of these issues, how does that impact the project where it stands
now? It's not acting on them. It's saying they're kicking up to the full board.
Just to kick it to the full board for December 9th.
For better discussion, right, guys?
And that the CEO would have to weigh in at that point.
At that time, we'll put together a matrix which outlines all that we've discussed today.
Good.
We'll talk about what the risk might be. And I think the discussion
on
overall...
it's a risk. The risk of what?
There's been a series of questions asked that need to be answered. That's what I'm saying. At the same time, the issue of culture,
right,
the director is referring to, I believe fundamentally comes down to a question of risk. I think we have an organization which is risk avoidant. And the best way to avoid risk is to pad everything. And so, you know, the fact is nobody likes to come before this board and get taken apart. People don't like that, and so they seek to avoid it. I know it's not the best thing, but if you're risk averse and it's not your money, that may be a path that you take, which may not.
That's a very. But hold on for a minute, Madam Chair.
Risk averse.
Hold on, Madam Chair, if you would. That I find to be a very revealing comment, Mr. Leahy, and I appreciate the candor with which it's asserted. It is the kind of thing that this board and the staff at the decision-making level has to come to grips with.
Sure.
And I trust that you will be as pointed in your remarks when it comes to the full board for our selective discussion and hopefully edification.
And you know, we have a series of these, and each one of them is more troubling than the next one.
The one other thing that when calculating all that out, both gentlemen had said there's time savings by making this change, so I assume that we'll calculate that in also as part of it, because I'm curious as to what that is. So, okay, yeah, we get all soup to nuts in there. Thank you.
It's usually not the case, but it'll be interesting because the contractor is going to say, now it's going to take me so much more longer to design an engineer. Watch it. And that's it. Just keep an eye on this thing. And these guys are very adept at giving us, you know, it's like magicians, you know, watch over here while I do this. That's what's going on. And I just want you to know, I'm not going to let it go this time. I'm going to be very persistent on this. I'm asking these questions because historically this is what's happened. And you and I are working on Universal Bridge right now, and that hasn't been resolved 10 years later. And we have lawsuits that are pending. So risk averse, my gosh, I wish we were. Because you shouldn't make these mistakes. It's like item number 4. LA DOT told you to make these changes, and you said, eh. And you went ahead and gave a contract to somebody without these changes, and now we're going to pay for it. That's not smart.
Madam Chair, I would just simply want to call the question on the disposition of the item before us, and punctuate it by saying I don't know who might view themselves one way or another as magicians, but I do know that the MTA ought not be seen as the magic castle.
With that, can we move this item forward to the full board on December 9th?
Without recommendation.
Without recommendation. So be it.
Okay.
We have item number three also the same.
I think the question being posed by Murthy is, do you want to treat number
item number three?
Yes, well, all three of these change orders will move to the December meeting.
And on this one, folks, come on. How could it results in savings of $4 million during construction, okay? I'm going to ask you that question. How? Doesn't make sense how. Okay, because before you're doing half and half. Now you're doing it one across, okay? I would like to know how that saves, okay? Because you're going to rebuild and engineer and design a whole new bridge. So I'm going to ask that question. And, of course, on item number four, which I think should also be part of that package.
Yes.
Come on, folks. Who made the decision to blow off Los Angeles Department of Transportation? What, did they blow them off the earth? You knew they were going to come back and say, you got to do it, man. There's somebody who made a decision, and a bad one, that led us to approve a contract that did not include the changes that the city of L.A. had requested. I want to know, and I'll ask you that day, who was the one that made that decision? And if it was Mr. Leahy, you can tell me. I'll listen. I need to know who made that decision to blow off LADOT. I'll ask you at the board meeting.
So we'll move all of these to the December 9th meeting with the questions hopefully being discussed and vetted before we come back on December 9th.
Okay.
Item 5 is deferred till January.
So no item 5. No public comment. Do we have any public comment on anything?
No.
Okay, well, it's mute now. So item number 6. Oh, that was called anyway.
Yeah.
Number 7.
Item 5, Madam Chair.
Item
we
five.
Need approval also. Item 5 is requesting approval to Integrated Project Management Office for Crenshaw. That was previously approved by the Executive Committee.
7. The lease office?
Yes.
Oh, 7. Okay.
On 7?
No. Okay, so item 5, did we need a vote on item 5?
Crenshaw?
Yeah.
Okay. 7 is continued.
Oh.
7 is continued. Carried
over. Did you want it carried over to the 9th?
To the 9th.
Item 7, I'm sorry. I think the numbering is...
Okay, I was getting confused too.
Yeah.
So item 7 is continued to the 9th.
Item 7 is requesting leasing office space for the Crenshaw
right.
Integrated
We're
Project
moving
Office.
Moving it to the 9th.
Okay. Item 8 is the presentation on the Four Quadrant Gate. Mr. Diego Cardoso and Robin Blair will do that.
Okay, thank you. Item number 8. Mm-hmm. Are we okay with that?
Good afternoon, board members. Basically, this is a status report to let you know where we are with what the board directed us to do last year. And then we are being extremely careful and conscious of the community and how this will be applied to the Eastside Phase 1. As we had indicated to you at previous meetings, we are proceeding with an initial pilot of 5 gates. We are conducting the environmental impact report for the remaining of the gates, and we also are preparing to conduct a simulation, which is basically a meeting with the county and the city in order to simulate how well it will work if we have gates. And that's going to be a simulation on traffic signals. We have identified a funding source for the initial pilot project, and we'll be reporting back to you as to how the simulation will work. That is a very important step because the simulation will allow us to give you a very objective report on how this will work. We are also working with the community, and in order to educate them as to how we are going to proceed with the project, and then at the appropriate time we'll be coming back to you and reporting you on the next steps. If there are any questions, I have here Robin Blair, who is the director of the Central Area Team, and Eric Carlson, who is the day-to-date project administrator. Are there any questions?
Questions on item number 8? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're on the item number 9, CEO update.
I just want to share with you that we had a very unfortunate incident on Sunday in which an assailant pushed an elderly patron off of the platform at the Little Tokyo station. The lady later on passed away. The assailant was arrested, undergoing psychological evaluation at the current time, pending the pressing of charges. We've also been advised by Caltrans that there's some problem with some cities as regards to management of RO funds. Let me ask Paul to outline that issue for you, please.
Caltrans has told us that some of the cities have not been submitting invoices or the appropriate progress reports, and we're working with those cities to make sure that they do that, because this RO funding cannot be de-obligated and then re-obligated. So we're working very closely with the cities, and Caltrans trying to get them together.
Well, the city of LA, you got down there for, I think, $7 million on that list of 10 cities, and we're being told they are compliant. But we're following up from the city side to make sure that that's resolved.
Apparently, every city on the list thought they were in compliance, and so there's an issue with Caltrans that we're trying to clarify.
Any other information? Okay. Any public comment? Okay. All right. Then. All right. The meeting adjourned.